I am immediately set free from sin's penalty. I am progressively set free from sin's power, and I will ultimately be set free from sin's presence.
That was Dr. Doug McLaughlin, our speaker on Living Redemptively, a daily program featuring messages from God's Word designed to help you have an authentic walk with the living God. Dr. McLaughlin served for many years as the pastor of Fourth Baptist Church in Plymouth, Minnesota, and has also served as a Bible college and seminary professor, and has traveled around the world speaking at pastors and educators conferences. We invite you to join us now as Dr. Doug McLaughlin shares today's lesson.
There are seven sayings of Jesus upon the cross. Every one of them is an expression of love, love that forgives, Father, forgive them. Love that transforms, today shalt thou be with me in paradise. Love that provides, woman, behold thy son. To John he said, behold thy mother. Love that endures, my God, why hast thou forsaken me? Love that suffers, I thirst. Love that triumphs, it is finished. And love that surrenders, Father, into thy hands I commend my spirit. When Jesus died on the cross, it appeared to the watching world that he was broken, but he was not broken. He knew that the victory was won, and it was that victory that he had in his mind when he said, "It is finished." At these words, you hear fetters burst, prison walls falling down. Humanity is finally free to approach God on the basis of grace instead of on the basis of wrath. Humanity is free from sin and Satan and self and slavery and the world, the platform for liberation from the pollutant elements that captivate the spirit of a man and destroy the life of a man and ruin the eternal destiny of a man. The platform for that is laid through the finished work of Jesus Christ. At these words, it is finished. Tetelestai. You hear fetters burst, prison walls falling down, barriers as high as heaven are overthrown. Gates which had not moved and which had been closed for millenniums once again move on their hinges, and the door is open to God through the work of Jesus Christ on Calvary. The way to the tree of life is open once again. The work is done. I'm free through Christ. We ought, every one of us, to thank God for the release from sin and from Satan and from self. We ought, every one of us, to thank God for the release from sin secured for us by Christ's finished work, his death, burial, and resurrection on the cross of Calvary. And I want to give, for a few moments, a twofold analysis. I'd like to look for a moment at an identification of this word. The identification of this word. I want to look at it historically, and I want to look at it grammatically. I don't want to be mundane. I don't want to become too technical, but I want you to understand precisely what Jesus meant when he said it is finished. First of all, the identification of this word. I want to look at it, first of all, from a historical perspective. The historical emphasis. How this word was used in ancient history. How was this word used in the ancient world? It was used at least in a fourfold way. One, it was a pastoral word. It was used of the farmer caring for his herd of cattle or of the shepherd caring for his sheep. When there was born into a farmer's herd an animal so perfectly formed that it seemed destitute of defect, that farmer would stand back and gaze upon that lovely little creature with delighted eyes, and he would say this word, Tetelestai. It's finished. It's perfectly formed. It was a pastoral word used in that way. And then it was a cultural word. It was used of an artist. When an artist had put the finishing touches to the vivid landscape of his artistry, when he saw that nothing called for correction or nothing called for improvement, then he would quietly say, Tetelestai, no correction needed. And then beyond that, it was not only a pastoral word, and it was not only a cultural word, but it was also a sacrificial word. That is to say, it was used in the Old Testament context of sacrifice. The Old Testament worshiper was exhorted to bring the very best of his flock to God. When some devout worshiper overflowing with gratitude for mercies he had received, sought out among his herd or his flock the very best he had and brought it to the temple. He brought a lamb without blemish and without spot, the pride of his flock. Then the priest, seeing that it was not maimed and not halt and not sick and not diseased, would look admiringly at that lovely creature and he would say, "Tetelestai, it's a beautiful sacrifice." And then finally, historically, this word was a judicial word. It was used in the Roman courtroom. When under the criminal system of Rome, if a man were found guilty of breaking the law and sentenced to prison, when that had happened to him, an itemized list of each infraction with its corresponding penalty was nailed to his cell door. And that list was called a handwriting. When he had served his time and the debt was finally paid in full, that certificate was taken down from off of that cell door, and it was inscribed with a very significant word to show that that man was completely debt-free. Right across that document was written this word, "Tetelestai." It is finished. It's a powerful word. It was used in the ancient world in a wonderful way. It was a pastoral word used of a perfectly formed lamb. That speaks to me of the birth of Jesus. A perfectly formed lamb. It was a cultural word used of a flawless work of art. That speaks to me of the life of Jesus. A flawless work of art. It was a sacrificial word. It was used of an unblemished offering brought to God. That speaks to me of the death of Jesus. A lamb without blemish and without spot. That's how we're redeemed, not with silver and gold, but with the precious blood of Christ, as of a lamb without blemish, without spot, Peter says. And then it was a judicial word. It was used of a debt fully and completely paid. That speaks to me of the victory of Jesus on the cross. That's what he meant when he said, "It is finished." Now, what are the implications of this work? I want to say three things about it. We've given you a history of the word, tetelestai. It would be good to learn that word, incorporate it into your nomenclature. Next time you gather around the Lord's table, you ought to whisper up into the presence of the Lord in your own personal prayer, "Tetelestai, it's finished. I'm so grateful, Lord." Now, I want you to see the implications of this work. We've seen the identification of the word. Now, for a moment, the implications of this work. They're simple, and I'll try to hurry with them, and there are only three that I want to share, although there are many more that could be listed. We can't exhaust the work of Christ. One, the termination of our sins. Two, the finalization of the law. Three, the elimination of satanic dominion over our lives. That's what it means when the Bible says it's finished. One, the termination of our sins. The guilt and the liability of our sins are lifted from off our shoulders. It is finished. It doesn't rest upon us any longer. I think that's what Isaiah meant when he spoke prophetically of the death of Jesus. The Lord hath laid on him the iniquity of us all. Isaiah 53 and verse 6. Now, you know, can I make a theological distinction for you here? It seems like a simple distinction, but it's an important one. There's a distinction between sin in me and sin on me. Can I make that distinction? There's a distinction between sin in me and sin on me. The Lord hath laid on him the iniquity, the avon is the Hebrew word, the guilt and all of its liabilities. Sin, its guilt, and all of its liabilities, a comprehensive Hebrew term, avon. The Lord hath laid on him the avon of us all. Sin on and sin in are two different things. Sin in an individual is a spiritual and a personal thing. Sin on an individual is a judicial or a legal issue. You say, "I don't understand it." Make it a little clearer. I'll try. Sin there is in me, and sin there is in you. Because even when we became Christians, even after we had accepted the Lord Jesus Christ as our personal Lord and Savior, the old Adamic nature was not eradicated. Sin there is in me, but sin is not on me. The weight of my sin, the condemnation that goes with my sin, is no longer resting upon my shoulder, because that sin and condemnation and that guilt and that liability was placed upon Jesus Christ. The Lord hath laid on him. There was no sin in Jesus. He was perfect. But sin came to rest upon him. All of my legal liability, all of my guilt, which makes me liable to be a recipient of God's wrath, all of that was lifted up off of my shoulders and placed upon Jesus Christ, and he bore it on the cross. Now there is therefore now no condemnation to them who are in Christ. There is sin in me, but none on me. I am immediately set free from sin's penalty. I am progressively set free from sin's power, and I will ultimately be set free from sin's presence. And it's because it is finished. The termination of my sins, the guilt and the liability that are due them, fell upon Christ. It will never fall on me. That's one thing Jesus meant when he said it's finished. Your sins, the guilt and the liability attached to them, have been terminated. Sin is in you because you're not a perfect creature yet, but sin is not on you. There is no condemnation for you because Jesus said, "Tetelestai." It is finished. It meant, secondly, the finalization of the law. You know, Jesus said, "Think not that I'm come to destroy the law or the prophets. I'm come not to destroy, but to fulfill." Matthew 5:17. Jesus fulfilled or finalized the law's precepts, and he fulfilled or finalized the law's penalty. When I say that he fulfilled the law's precepts, I mean that he did something that no other man had ever done. He kept the precepts or the commandments of the law perfectly and flawlessly in thought, word, deed, attitude, and motive. He's the only person who's ever walked the face of this globe who is truly righteous. And it's that perfect righteousness that is imputed to my account when I receive Christ as my Savior. It's that perfect righteousness of Christ which makes me fit for heaven. It's that perfect righteousness of Christ that is wrapped all around me as I stand before God. And it's on the basis of that perfect righteousness of Christ that I am accepted into the family. He fulfilled the law's precepts. He's the only being who's ever populated the globe that did that. But then he went a step further. Because he had done that, he was exempt from death. The soul that sinneth, it shall die, and Jesus never sinned. Therefore, he was exempt from death. But he knew I would have to die. He knew you'd have to die. He knew that we were in the grip of a situation from which we could not deliver ourselves. He knew we were bound for hell. He loved us. He said, "I am exempt from death. They are not. I am an infinite being. I can pay their penalty. I will show them the depth of my love. I will die for them." That is precisely what the law required. The law required death for our infractions of the law. And Jesus paid that penalty. He fulfilled and finalized the law's precepts. He kept it perfectly. And he fulfilled and finalized the law's penalty. Now do you know what? You and I are exempt from it. We have the righteousness of the law in the sense that we have the righteousness of Christ imputed to us. And we are delivered from the law's penalty because Christ has already paid it.
Thank you for joining us for Living Redemptively with Dr. Doug McLaughlin. Dr. McLaughlin served for many years as the senior pastor of Fourth Baptist Church in Plymouth, Minnesota. For more information on Fourth Baptist, visit their website at fourthbaptist.org. That's fourthbaptist.org. Living Redemptively is produced in partnership with Harvest Ministries on the island of Guam. If you would like to receive a copy of all the messages in this series, or if you have any questions about what you've heard, we invite you to contact Living Redemptively at P.O. Box 23189, Barragata, Guam 96921. That's P.O. Box 23189, Barragata, Guam 96921. You can call area code 671-477-6341, extension 260. That's area code 671-477-6341, extension 260. You can also download this program in a daily podcast. Learn more at hbcguam.net. That's hbcguam.net. Finally, if you'd like to email Living Redemptively, email khmg@hbcguam.net. Coming up next time on Living Redemptively.
Sin and alienation have become for the Christian forgiveness and reconciliation because of what Jesus did.
That's coming up next time on Living Redemptively, helping you to live an authentic Christian life.